Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 2 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 8, 15 through 20. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 8, starting in verse 15. I assembled them at the canal that flows toward Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. When I checked among the people and the priests, I found no Levites there. So I summoned Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshullam, who were leaders, and Joriarib and Elnathan, who were men of learning. Now, Nathan and Elnathan were apparently very popular names in Babylon at that time. Ezra is assembling the party. He's kind of gotten everybody out of where they're living, gotten them all, loaded up, geared up, and he's about to set on this long expedition. And this is probably a wise thing, right? If you've ever been, camping or doing anything like this where you're going on a relatively difficult and long expedition, sometimes it's best not to just pack everything up and rush out. Sometimes it's good to pack everything up, take a couple steps, and then see if you've got everything you need. And whereas Ezra was probably planning on checking to see if he had everything he needed in the way of supplies and resources and things like that, actually this gives him a moment to pause and say, wait a second, we don't have any Levites. We've got a bunch of priests, but we don't actually have enough Levites. And Levites are the ones that do all of the heavy lifting when we go back to do sacrifices and things like that. And this brings us kind of back around to something that I talk about from time to time when we speak about the temple and the sacrificial services that went on. But in reality, what the temple was a giant butcher shop. People bring live animals a lot of times. I mean, it's really easy to walk the cow from northern Israel down to Jerusalem. It's really difficult to kill the cow and then haul the cow to Jerusalem. So people are bringing live animals into the temple. The Levites are the ones sacrificing them, preparing them, cutting them up, bringing them to the priest, and the priest is the one offering the sacrifices. The priests have kind of got the fighter pilot job of the temple service, right? There's this huge machinery underpinning all of the fighter pilots in the Air Force of the Navy. I mean, think about naval pilots. You've got, aircraft carriers. You've got thousands of people on board an aircraft carrier doing all of the jobs necessary to make the planes fly. And you've got 50 fighter pilots that are flying the planes off the deck of the ship, something like that. And so that's really how this worked, is you've got thousands or hundreds of Levites for every priest, or what, probably hundreds or maybe 50 Levites for every priest, something like that. There's a pretty big ratio, probably not 1,000, but you've got a large number of Levites per priest to do all of the preparation and keep everything moving. And Ezra's like, holy cow, how did I overlook this? And he tells these guys, you need to go back and get us some Levites from the exiles. Verse 17. And I ordered them to go to Iddo, the leader in Cassiphia. I told them what to say to Iddo and his fellow Levites, the temple servants in Cassiphia, so that they might bring attendance for us for the house of our God. Because the gracious hand of our God was on us, they brought us Sherebiah, a capable man, from the descendant of Mahli, son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah's sons and brothers. In all, and Hashabiah, together with Jeshiah and the descendants of Merari, and his brothers and nephews. In all, they brought us 220 of the temple servants, a body that David and the officials had established to assist the Levites. They were registered by name. This is something that I find fascinating. What Ezra is doing here is he's actually, this is one of the first references to something that's quasi-extra-biblical. We know that David established the rank and file, like he established the gatekeepers, he established the singers and musicians, he established all these things to go on when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem and set up the tent, and it was called the Tabernacle of David. The Ark of the Covenant was basically just in a tent open for people to come and worship and sing. The sacrifices, the Ark of the Covenant, the sacrificial services were still going on elsewhere. But when Solomon dedicated the temple, they brought everything together. They put the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, and the sacrifices and the Ark were once again back together, but the singing and worship continued. David established 24/7 worship and prayer. And so he had a very organized system to make sure that this continued on, in addition to all of the sacrifices, all of the other things that were going on. It's actually a really big operation, you know, going on behind the scenes. I mean, really, if you went to the temple, it was out in the open for everyone to see, but we don't really think about it or talk about it that much. It's kind of like, quote unquote, behind the scenes, all of the slaughtering of the animals and then the singing and the worshiping. We're going to see in Nehemiah that Nehemiah is going to talk about the reinstitution of the 24/7 worship and prayer as well. And they're going to reference some extra biblical texts that apparently David had passed on during this time that had been, I guess, around Israel the entire time. And what Ezra is referencing here is he's talking about, you know, all of these people that David, you know, had established. I think this is referencing some things First Chronicles and a little bit in Second Samuel that David had established. But I think more than anything, and as when we get into Nehemiah later on in the next study, we're going to see that there were extra biblical texts that David had passed on, had written or had written and passed on as far as how all of this should work. Texts that we don't have, they're not recorded in scripture, but this is the first allusion to that as far as there was a very regimented order to the temple service and to the worship and prayer that was to go on before their 24/7. We'll get into that much later. But for now, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, for the 10-Week Bible Study. I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.